For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS. You're with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome to the show today. I hope your week is going well. We're going to start out with a small story about Ukraine. Well, it's actually a big story. We've been covering the DU rounds. But we're going to talk a lot about what's going on around the Nashville shootings and the planned Day of Vengeance rally in Washington, D.C. over the weekend. Now, starting out, White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby came up with, if Russia's afraid of depleted uranium projectiles, they can withdraw their tanks from Ukraine. This is my recommendation to them. Really, really think about this. Russia drew a red line because, you know, this is literally the equivalent of dirty bombs. It's going to have the same lasting effects all over the place. Now, the U.S. Department of Defense claims that no human cancer of any type has been seen as a result of exposure to natural or depleted uranium. Give me a break on this, because you have Iraq, you have what's going on, you know, at different conflict zones where these have been used. Now, the Department of Defense says no cancer of any type, but the National Defense and Canadian Armed Forces website says the public concern about the use of DU munitions seems widespread. DU use has been attributed to by some to be the cause of the debilitating symptoms commonly known as Gulf War Syndrome. For this reason in particular, environmental concerns in general and alternatives to DU as a penetrating material is being sought. It's not being sought for a political reason or theory. It's being sought because it's causing health issues, and the EPA agrees with it. If depleted uranium is ingested or inhaled, it's a serious health hazard. Alpha particles directly affect living cells and can cause kidney damage and cancer. So depending on what part of the narrative and what news cycle you're listening to, depleted uranium is either a vitamin and a mineral that's good for you, or it's deadly for generations to come, which is actually the bulk of the medical journalism supports that. It's not theory. It seems that anytime something is going to be politically hot like this, they give it the old COVID narrative. The COVID narrative started a long time before COVID. And it just revolves around, you know, well, something's good, something's bad, something's useful, something's not, something's preventative, something's not. Get your vaccine dose of DU, I guess. I don't know. What I do know is that if they use this in Ukraine, and at this point it's when they use this in Ukraine, they're going to be poisoning the people that live there for generations to come. And this is something that shows up in the agriculture products. And, you know, as I said, over the last few years, those products, Ukraine is the breadbasket for Europe. Those products will soon be on the shelf coming to you. Maybe not this year, but as these areas are cleared, yeah, they will be. And if they're in Ukrainian hands, they have no problem sending that harvest over. So we need to really get a handle on these things. This is the world we live in today. And this is how crazy it actually is today. Now, April 11th marks the four-year anniversary of the arrest of journalist and publisher Julian Assange. Join activists and supporters from around the country from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Department of Justice on the corner of 10th and Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. to demand the charges against him be dropped. Now, what's happening to Julian Assange is happening to all of us. It's the criminalization of truth. The world is watching, and that is turning. Journalism is not a crime. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with our new segment with Dee Dee Denslow. We'll see you in a minute.
Stay updated on everything you need to know.
They keep me up to date.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, and we've got the illustrious TNT talk show host and producer Dee Dee Denslow in the house. Dee Dee, give us an update on trans shooter Audrey Hale. What's going on?
Audrey Hale is her real name, and I have used the correct pronoun there. She was past tense, a female to man transsexual. That's a trans man is a female to male, trans female or trans woman.
Well, let's keep this simple. Sorry, because I'm stupid.
Sorry.
It's a woman.
She's a woman. I just confused myself. It's like trying to say tongue twisters. It just gets really confusing.
Isn't it?
Confusing. And then when we get it wrong, George, we get demonized as like we're, you know, hate speech. Oh, that's hate speech. And it's like, well, it's really confusing. I don't understand it. And if you ask them to explain
let them
it
come
to you,
with it.
They can't explain it themselves half the time, especially this non-binary nonsense. And just some stats. I just dug out some stats because, you know, I was interested to see what the population was or demographics of trans people in the USA. So there are 1.6 million trans people in the USA aged over 13. 300,000 youth identify as trans. So that's 18%, nearly 20% of all trans are 13 to 17 years old. And yet that's only 8% of the overall population of that age group. So you've got 8% of the US population is 13 to 17. And yet nearly 20% of that population are now trans, according to the stats that I've found. Insane numbers. 36% are trans men, 39% are trans women. There's a missing number there somewhere. I'm presuming that's the non-binary. Audrey Hale, who also liked to be known as Aiden, she had, and I sent you a picture of her room, and she had all the LGBTQ paraphernalia, but she also had lots of NATO stuff, Ukraine stuff. It seemed like she was very much an adherent of whatever the current thing was that was being pushed in the media. And the media, what were they pushing in the weeks coming up to this event? Lots of calls in the MSM for trans violence and from leftist commentators leading up to the attack, including recommending or using language that suggested that it would be a good thing would be for to attack Christians and people who were pro-life. Now, Audrey Hale actually came from a Christian family herself, and that has also been sort of labeled as a potential reason for her crimes. Post the event, there were commentators like Dave Packman, who had deleted his tweet, who were more concerned about pronouns and Christian prayer than the fact that three children and three teachers had just been murdered by this criminal. It's quite likely, I hope not, that if this type of narrative persists in the mainstream, the left-leaning mainstream media, pushing for potential violence from the trans movement, from that particular group, then it is quite likely that there might be more attacks that could happen in the future. And then just one final thing on this topic before I go to something that I think might be a little bit related to this horrible event that's happened. happened in Nashville in the USA, is that there are a lot of people talking about psychological operations, false flags. There's been a lot of pictures going around of her trainers suggesting, or his trainers, her trainers. Sorry, I'm confusing you again, George. Suggesting that maybe this isn't all, this event isn't all that it seems to be, and it could be just used either as a false flag or a real event that's being used in a psychological operation type of way to really further the aims of the anti-gun movement in the USA and ending the Second Amendment. So, and she actually wrote a little suicide note to her friend as well before going out and committing this crime. This crime is almost certainly got ideological and political themes in terms of this person's motivation. So I thought I'd just touch up on that quickly, George. Well, it wasn't that quick. Before I go on to this poll that's just come out of the USA, values decline or sharply decline in the USA. Americans no longer find patriotism, religion, children, or community involvement important, according to a Wall Street Journal survey. And I'll just read out the stats to you. Americans who say that patriotism is very important to them has fallen from 38% from 70% in 1998. Religion has fallen in importance. It's now standing at 39%, listing it as very important, down from 48% in 2019 and 62% in 1998. 30% of Americans now consider having children very important, just 30%, down from 43% 4 years ago, and 59%, nearly 60% of people thought children was important and having children and looking after children was important in 1998. And then finally, 47% of people ranked community involvement as important. I find that a surprising figure. You'd think that would be very much a democratic, left-leaning type of idea. And that figure was at 62% in 2019 before falling to what? Oh, sorry, I've got my figures wrong there. 27% now think that community involvement is important. So that makes 73% people think that it isn't. And woke identity politics, Donald Trump, of course, Orange Man bad, the financial crisis are being blamed on some of this irreversible political polarization. And with the Republicans obviously ranking these values higher than the Democrats. And I suspect this change in feeling, in ideology, in motivations in life amongst the American public, which I will put blame squarely on the establishment and their mainstream media mouthpieces, is directly linked to some of this LGBTQ stuff, this trans stuff, and some of these unfortunate acts of violence that have been happening in your schools, George.
Well, yeah, and, you know, this has been a big buildup because of what the Democratic Party's been doing since 2015, 2016, demonizing half of America. That accounts for part of it. People are giving up. It's fatigue. But
apathy.
You know, what you're saying about the lowest ebb in, you know, patriotism, community involvement and such, people have been getting pushed out of the public arena. I mean, if you take Twitter metric, okay, it's the new public town hall. People, you know, say their thoughts. They will, you know, tweet them, but then they get pushed out of that, and they have nowhere to go. And this has been, you know, it's been a very focused thing doing this. In terms of what's going on, you know, with the trans, it's part of an effort politically by the Democrats. This, if you remember right, back in 2020 or 20, actually it was 2017 when Trump was taking office, was when they first got national stage because of Obama. And so this, for them, has been a very, very rapid buildup in media and political weight. And, you know, when you're looking at a group that you know, if 18% of all transgenders are 13 to 17 years old, it's because they have been propagandized into thinking it's the cool thing, it's the in thing. Mm-hmm. 13 to 17 year olds, honestly, they haven't got their hormones or their emotions straightened out enough to be taken seriously on anything. To allow them to do something that's going to mutilate their bodies forever. I realize that the U.S. government is looking forward to the day when, you know, right now when that will be a reality and parents have no say. But really think about that. If that's 18% of a movement, political movement, these people can't even vote. They don't have political rights, per se. Mm-hmm. Or and they're being coerced into this by the schools. Well, see, they'll need a drink after this, but they're being coerced into this at school. So, you know, they're getting it hit from every angle. And it just shows the fact that this movement as a political movement is very specifically always been about targeting children. Now, let me ask you a question. I don't know if you have kids or not, but you know, we'll say daughter. You got a little daughter. Okay, that works out even
better. I say she's now, little. She's 16.
Okay. Well, let's say, you know, she's 11, and we have this whole Disney thing behind this whole movement now. Now, what if Disney was putting out some very, very provocative stuff, okay, to an 11-year-old, marketing it for kids, but very provocative propaganda, sexual charged. It doesn't matter if it's transgender or not. It could be, you know, heterosexual, sexually charged for an 11-year-old or a 10-year-old. Where do you draw the line with that? I mean, child pornography is child pornography. Would you agree that it's wrong?
Yeah, it's fundamentally wrong, and it's black and white. And because, children should not, as you've already explained, George, an 11-year-old doesn't have the skills, the knowledge, the critical thinking, is also not physically mature enough to really be dealing with and understanding some of the issues of adult sexuality. Sex primarily is something for bonding purposes between a man and a woman, and for the purposes of reproducing the human race. And that's not the job of an 11-year-old. They should not be exposed to any of that. The extent of my sex education when I was an 11, 12-year-old might have been, if I remember rightly, seeing a man and a woman running around naked on the beach playing tennis or something. I think that was the extent of my sex education as a child. And even then, I thought, my God, what am I watching? I should be covering my eyes up and not seeing it. Now, they are, you know, you're getting drag queens going into classrooms, or kids being taken to drag shows. I mean, this is primarily in the USA, but we've seen stuff similar to this with like adult or family sex shows that are for all ages doing tours in the UK. This is clearly wrong. And I think James Lindsay made a really, really quite a pertinent point on this topic. In fact, it was on this topic, although he's very keen on it. He was talking about eating bugs, but it applies to the transgender, to the grooming that's going on for younger and younger children in schools. And that is, if we will accept these things, the pedo grooming, trans LGBTQ stuff for children, or whether it's eating bugs as a staple of our diet, if we accept these things and we are being degraded and we're accepting it, they will just keep pushing that boundary lower and lower and lower. Mm-hmm. It is a psychological tool played on society, and you could almost certainly label communism as the origin of this type of psychological tactic that's being employed on the public, George. So, you know, that's my opinion on it. Children under the age of 16.
I was going to get into that after the break. the actual politics of this after the break. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Please continue. I wasn't trying to interrupt. I'm just interjecting that.
Yeah, I mean, so that is where we are, where all of our social norms are being torn up and thrown in, out the window. The public are being who sit in front of their TVs or their screens or their phones all day and are bombarded with these messages. I don't blame some of these people who are unsuspecting victims to sort of go along with it. After 3 weeks of messaging, most people can have their minds changed to believe just about anything. We saw that with COVID. The same tactics are being played with these sexual narratives that are being forced and directed at our children. And it is coming through Disney, George. It is coming through things like Nickelodeon. Some of it's very subtle. Mm-hmm. Some of it's very subliminal. And, you know, to find out a figure of 18% of 13 to 17 year of the trans community are 13 to 17 years old, these people are going forth into the future. And they may spread this ideology, and we might find that the 13 to 17 year olds of, I don't know, 2035 or 2045, we might find a much larger population are having sex changes or going through this transgender process. So I hope that it goes the other way. And because parents are, you know, the mama bears are coming out and fighting for their kids. In the UK, children are being taken out of schools. They're being prevented from watching stuff on TV. You see and hear more and more and more of that. Hopefully, the parents are the ones who are going to fight back, not just on the trans stuff, but a whole range of issues in which children are being made the center or a focus of these false narratives, George.
Exactly. And, you know, you made the point that they're being groomed, and that would be the reason for, you know, going after children. I mean, it's 13 to 17, but, you know, they're going after them 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Why? Yeah. Well, this is actually, you know, the whole LGBTQ sometimes Y plus 10 scenario deal with their 67 new genders or whatever are also hooked up with the pedophile groups. It's all part of the same thing because there's strength in numbers.
Yeah.
So it is a huge, huge concern. And, you know, that's part of the reason why they're going after children these ages. And, you know, quite frankly, if they start mutilating 13, 14 year olds now, if they have these sex changes without their parents' consent, which is what they're pushing for in the US, it's just crazy. They've made a sexual choice already at 13, legally.
Yeah.
Which is how they're going to say, well, they're of age. They've already made these choices. Informed choices. What do you mean? You can't take me to court. You can't put me in jail. So what if she was 12? So what if she was 10? So what if he was 8? This is crazy. And, look back, gosh, 6 years ago, would we be having this conversation?
No.
I mean,
2015 is when the world went crazy. Yeah. 2015, just before. It was when Trump announced that he was standing. You can literally put a peg in that year. 2015 mm-hmm. is when the world went crazy. Some take it back a couple of years to the Wall Street protests that happened during the financial crisis. I forget what they were called now, Occupy Wall Street. But 2015. Is when the world went crazy. And since then, you said, it has been rapid. And we might find ourselves, George, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, in 2035 or 2030, where some of these 13 to 17 year olds are now 20 to 25 year olds, and they're a bit more grown up, and they're looking at their mutilated body, and they're thinking, what the hell have I done to myself? And we might find a whole detransitioning narrative overtaking the trans narrative. And again,
a lot of angry children that they were children, now they're grown up, angry you let me do this to myself as a kid.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Exactly. It's very likely to come in the near future. In fact, you're already sort of hearing rumors that there is a growing mass of these people who are very regretful and, like you said, angry and potentially hateful as well, looking back at the decisions made for them or they were coerced into taking just for some political ideology.
All right. Didi, thanks for coming on today. We're going to take a quick break. And we're going to get into the political side of this hardcore when we get back. This has been Didi Denslow with the news break. And Didi, we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, George.
We'll be back in a few minutes.
For Voye Morich on TNT Radio.
Bill Gates has penned an op-ed for the New York Times saying, "I worry we're making the same mistakes again." He wants to create a global health emergency corps. And you know, my response is, like, seriously, dude, can't you just leave us alone? Why are you so obsessed with global domination? Can't you just go play Age of Empires and, you know, take over the world vicariously through the Age of Empires simulation? He just won't go away. Yeah, it's just the same old, give us more power to take over the planet. I'm, you know, basically Cobra Commander. And on top of that, it was also quite shocking this weekend clip that came straight from Tedros the Terrorist's Twitter account. He's basically saying our obstacle is nationalism, narrow nationalism. And he's basically, you know, basically between the lines saying, give us world government, sign the pandemic accord, and everything's going to be okay. They're so close. They're on the cusp of all-out world government, these freaks.
For Voye Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
The conversation continues.
Americans across this country are sick and tired of the unaccounted for spending.
On today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome back. Now we're going to talk about the Transsexual Day of Vengeance coming to a country near you. The Trans Radical Activist Network, that's a mouthful, are putting on an event in Washington, D.C. from March 31st to April 2nd, starting on Friday, and they're going to be marching on the Supreme Court. It's called the Trans Day of Vengeance. Now, what's interesting about this is Twitter is working with these people, and they're banning anyone who talks about it factually. And they're allowing violent threats against other people. And they actually blocked Marjorie Taylor Greene. And we'll get to that in a second. But first, what will Twitter support? Well, you have violent threats from Democratic Governor of Arizona, Katie Hobbs, Press Secretary Jocelyn Berry. And she has a picture of herself with an assault rifle. And she has a caption, "To us when we see transphobes." Picture of her with a gun, an AR-15. Okay, "us when we see transphobes." Well, you know, that's the press secretary for a governor saying this. All right. Now, this is ahead of this Day of Vengeance. another advertisement for this is another trans woman with another AR-15, and it says, kill the Christ cucks, kill the Christ cucks kids, stomp the Christ cucks heads to the asphalt, and so on and so on and so on, and it just goes on. Christ cucks? Seriously? And this is in the wake of the shooting at the Christian school. This is seriously sick. Now, what they're looking to do, and, you know, let's look at Marjorie Taylor Greene first. Now, what did she actually say that she was suspended on Tuesday? She actually tweeted, in the wake of a transgender shooter targeting a Christian school and murdering kids, every American should know the threat of Antifa-driven trans terrorism. Twitter should not whitewash the incitement of politically motivated violence. That's what she was banned from Twitter for. So when we get to a statement from the co-founder of the Trans Radical Activist Network, you find out that they're actually socialists that work with Antifa. So what she was saying is actually true. Now, this part of the statement I want to read. This person says they're calling for a day of trans vengeance instead of trans day of visibility, because visibility alone is no longer enough. So being seen and heard in the public square isn't enough, so they want a day of vengeance. Well, here's the thing. If you're taking vengeance, what are you taking vengeance against? And who are you taking vengeance against? The right-wing fascists have unleashed a misinformation campaign upon our community by creating narratives that we are a danger to society. They like to say that we're sexual predators and violent radicals, when in fact, the only thing that's dangerous about us is the fact that we're a threat to the binary systems that uphold patriarchy. Issues such as poverty, housing, healthcare, education, police brutality, and hate crimes against the marginalized communities, the fact that the trans, non-binary communities, and the war concerning gender identity are being singled out as the number one problem by far-right politicians demonstrates to us that we are being used to distract people from the most important issues at hand. So what she's saying is she's listing out all the issues BLM and Antifa have with the U.S. and the U.S. government and the U.S. people. This is why we're calling for a trans day of vengeance. Vengeance means fighting back with vehemence. It's our battle cry to declare to the world that we are the transgender, non-binary communities will never neither be silenced nor eradicated. We're calling to our allies, members of other marginalized communities, to make themselves known and to fight with us. What they're doing is calling the communities that they joined in 2017 for their Trump inauguration rallies. This was intersectional political grouping that came together to destroy Trump. And now they want them to come together and support them against the world. Now, you know, the things that they said are interesting because what they're saying and what they're doing are entirely different. They're targeting children specifically, but they don't want to be called sexual predators or a danger to society. Now, we're leaving out the shooting at the school in this, and you have to. And here's the thing. I've made it really, really clear how I see this as a political movement, okay? What they're doing, the politics that they're pulling, and the changes that they're making to society is wrong at every level. But, and this is a but, these groups don't lead, they're not the leadership of every transgender person out there, if that makes sense. And so you have to separate these people that are doing these things, getting a, transgender or whatever operation or treatments or whatever, from this politics altogether. And it's not a matter of whether I approve of it or disapprove of it. People have a right to self-develop in any direction they want. There's nothing illegal about this. So how I think about this, at any level, whether it be religious or otherwise, it's a constitutional society, just the same. The problem is that they have decided to target everybody else. And yes, it is a danger to society. When men go into women's sports and can hurt women, girls and women, they're a danger to society. They're a danger to the development of girls and women, young women, all together at every level. And, we're leaving the sex part out of that. How about just getting scholarships, opportunities? How about just a simple idea that a girl or a woman can be a champion in sport, can earn it? Why do they have to compete against boys or men? Because they can't win. A few years ago in MMA, there was the former Special Forces Green Beret that went transgender, decided to go MMA and fight as a woman. And I remember he was fighting for this woman. It was, the top guard. And, she was the person, okay, the fighter to beat. And she was clearly much more skilled than him, but she couldn't hurt him. And, everything she did probably would have devastated any other woman she fought. She could not physically hurt this guy. And we're talking about, a special forces operator that previously was in Afghanistan fighting the Taliban looking for ISIS. Is that a fair fight? Because now we're into the level where it's not military anymore. This is sport. And it doesn't matter how good she is, he's always going to beat her. It's just on the fact, musculature, just the difference in the physiology. And that's what he took advantage of. Because of physiology, he was much stronger than her, even though they were close to the same weight. So, it's just crazy. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get back into the politic of this. This is TNT Talk Radio. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Previously, I told you about President Biden's nominee to head the Federal Aviation Administration, Philip Washington, a military veteran who is CEO of Denver International Airport. Now, after his Senate hearing some 3 weeks ago, I let you hear how, based on his inability to answer one question after another on vital issues, there was no way this man should be confirmed to the position. Remember this?
What airspace requires an ADS-B transponder? Quickly, please.
Thank you for the question, Senator. Not sure I can answer that question right now.
That's okay. We'll just keep going. So what are the six types of special use airspace that protect this national security that appear on FAA charts? Quickly, please.
Sorry, Senator, I cannot answer that question.
Can you tell me what causes an aircraft to spin or to stall?
Again, Senator, I'm not a pilot.
Thank goodness Washington has withdrawn his nomination after it became evident that he would not get voted out of committee for a full vote on the Senate floor. Washington is black, and in this administration, that's probably why he was nominated. Wokeness can be dangerous. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Money in the bank may not be safe. In a banking crisis, a bail-in could wipe out deposits, but the mainstream media and most politicians will attempt to distract you from this pressing danger. A bail-in for a failing bank could replace the traditional taxpayer-funded bailout. Unlucky depositors would be sacrificed to prevent financial contagion, and government legislation would allow it. Several nations have passed such legislation. For instance, Australia's financial sector legislation amendment, crisis resolution powers and other measures, Act 2018. Technocrats at the Bank for International Settlements Financial Stability Board established the global bail-in regime under the leadership of board chairman Mark Carney, starting in 2011. Carney now spruiks the dangers of climate change at the United Nations.
You're with George Eliason
on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back. Now, we're talking about the political side of this, and I'm really trying hard to sidestep the actual sexuality issues for the most part. But, you know, we'll go as far as to say, you know, things like grooming, which is, you know, you're getting into a criminal activity. Okay. When this whole transgender issue came up, we're looking at groups of people that already had equal rights. This wasn't, and it can't be compared to the civil rights movement. It cannot. The victories of the civil rights movement were hard won, and contrary to BLM, they were won. But because of what they're doing now, BLM, they got $3 trillion in donations and disappeared. None of it went to the black community, which they were never trying to help to begin with. It was all about getting Biden in. It's all about controlling segments of society. That was all it was about. But because of what they've done, what they're doing, you cannot celebrate the victory. And I mean victory, they crossed the finish line on equal rights for civil rights a very, very long time ago. And I've covered this on shows before, but if you look at the middle class as a percentage of population, blacks are about 18% of the population. So it stands to reason 18% of the middle class should be black. And guess what? They are. And the same thing goes with Asian by percentage. Same thing goes with Hispanic by percentage. Same thing goes with white by percentage. You're going to see that. And that's why the middle class is so important. It is the social barometer, the health of a country. And that's where you're going to see whether or not there is discrimination. You can't measure it on the poor. You can't measure it on the very, very rich. But you can the middle class. Now, these people, for all intents and purposes, all came out of the middle class. They're not disadvantaged in any way, shape, or form. Their rights are all there. Their privileges as citizens are all there. And yet they want more. But every time the political end of this stands up, it's to get closer to children. So, you know, having said that, well, they have a right to be transgender if they want to, because it's a constitutional society, whatever I feel about it doesn't matter. Why is it that they always want to be and put themselves in a position where they can play grab ass with children? I have a problem with this. Or hurt women in the name of women's rights. The way they packaged that, it was just ungodly good. Imagine that, women's rights. You don't believe in women's rights. I was being told this by women. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Listen, if you want to protect women's rights, get the ERA passed. That's what you need to do. Codify it now. You're a Democrat. You control Congress. You got a Democrat in the White House. Get the quorum. Get the thing codified. Everything's good. Hunky-dory. It wasn't on anyone's table to do that. We're Title 10. We have equal rights. Okay, well then, guess what? Women have equal rights. Everybody's happy. And yes, they do. Everybody does. Do you need it written in stone? Honestly, in this kind of society today, yeah, I would. But instead of doing that, they gave their rights up to men. These Democrats did. And it is a god-awful shame. Now, these people are calling the Christ cucks Christians, religious people. That would include Muslims, by the way. That would include religious Jews, by the way. That would include anybody in the, you know, any of the three Abrahamic religions, or anybody that's socially conscious and values, how do we want to put this? How about the community structure of a civil society? That would be you, that these people hate. Now, Tucker Carlson made a great point about this. He did this yesterday, and what he said was that these people hate Christians. The trans movement, it turns out, is the mirror image of Christianity, meaning its opposite, and therefore its natural enemy. People who believe they're God can't stand to be reminded that they're not. And the whole point was, is that, you know, the Christian perspective is that you are imperfect. You're a human being. And, you know, therefore, you know, you are small under God. And you have this whole group of people saying, well, God's wrong. I'm right. That's it. That's all. Whatever. Now, forget about that part for a second. But now they're saying, because you believe in God, you need to be killed. Now, I don't recall any Christian saying that these transgender people need to be killed. And keep in mind that this is the political leadership of this, the political side of this movement, that are pushing these issues to the wall. And it may or may not be what this Nashville shooting was about. We don't know that yet. And, you know, I'm an investigative journalist. I'm not willing to make an assumption on something that it's going to be end up being a narrow focus no matter where this goes. Whether she had problems with the school because she went there as a child. Psychologically, it's very strange that a woman would do this, because it's just not something. How many women school shooters do you hear about, or, you know, gunmen? You just really don't. But it would seem to be she's acting out what she thinks she should be as a man, which is very odd. So there are things in play there, but you can't, at this point, literally you could say anything and anyone could regard it as true or not, because no one has the facts yet. So it's better off to wait on that particular thing. But as far as the entity that this leadership that's, you know, incestuous with the Democratic Party inside it, they are enemies of people in general. All you have to do is disagree with them on something. And it's not, you know, saying, hey, they don't have rights. Yes, they do. They have the same rights as you or me. But do they have more rights? And can they go after children? Can they erode women's rights? And the answer is no and no to that. And it has to remain no and no to that. Women fought for the right for suffrage for so long. And maybe that story wasn't enshrined in history enough to make it as special as it is. Women's suffrage. They fought for that right for a very long time. And it costs a great deal. They fought for the rights that they have in the business place, the workplace, for safety. And those rights are there. Why give them up willingly? So you can see that no one in their right mind would do that. All right. Yes, I want to give away all my rights as a human being so you can look at me as anything, something else. Nobody's going to do that. So, okay, what were they sold on? How did they sell this? You wouldn't call it propaganda. It's info war. It's just crazy. You know, can you imagine? Hey, Julie. Well, yesterday you called me Chuck, but today you can call me Charlene. I've got lipstick on. How does that enhance women's rights? It doesn't. Unless, of course, you're a general in the Pentagon. I mean, honestly, you know, you leave Biden in office long enough, that'll be a requirement. You want to be a four-star general, chief of staff, better wear lipstick. That's how you get the job in the Biden administration. This is doing nothing, but it's worse than disrupting societies. This is disintegrating it. And it's going to end up, if it's not reined in, with the most banal, animalistic results possible. Blood in the streets results, and there won't be anyone there to give a damn to stop it. They'll let it wind itself out. And that's where we're heading right now. That possibility became very apparent in 2020. What happens when two sides clash en masse? What did the police do then? They couldn't even handle one side. What happens when there's two? Will that happen? I don't know. The so-called Christ cucks, violent as they are trying to let the system that's supposed to work for them, law, order, justice, civility, they're trying to let these things play out. Why? Because they're normal people like you and me. That's what we're taught to do as children, right? Growing up, if you took a civics class. And we're seeing all of that fraying and coming apart now. So we have this happening under Biden. So we know, you know, one way or the other, Biden's got to go. That's it in America. As far as his rally, vengeance against what? You know, someone forgot to put one sugar into their Starbucks coffee or something. They took it personally. Give me a break. Give me a break. We've got to get control of our societies again in a positive way. Now, you know, I don't make it, you know, I don't hide the fact that I'm a conservative. But the simple fact is you need conflicting ideas. You need different ideas bouncing off each other because both sides keep the other side sharp. And that's what having the two-party system was supposed to work. It was supposed to represent business and the working man. And, you know, it's not that, you know, Republican and Democrat, this or that. It was to maintain a balance of rights for everybody. And it doesn't matter what you call them, but it needs to work. It needs to work again. So let's get to that. I'm George Eliason. This is TNT Talk Radio. Thanks for coming on today.